Hi, this is Mike Miller, host of Around It About. Coming up on the show, a Chattanooga writer is joining us to talk about her new novel. Susan Gregg Gilmore's newest book is called The Funeral Dress. It's set in East Tennessee, and it's about seamstresses who work in a shirt factory. The protagonist is a very young woman, unmarried, who has a baby and is trying to escape from the harsh poverty she lives in. It's an extremely realistic, sometimes heartbreaking work of Southern literature. It's won praise from critics and other authors. Fanny Flagg said, "The Funeral Dress is a rare and wonderful glimpse into the lives and friendships among blue-collar working women in America." Stay tuned. A Roundabout starts right now. Hello, and welcome to A Roundabout Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. Susan Gregg Gilmore joins us. She's a Chattanooga author, a Southern writer. Her first novel was Looking for Salvation at the Dairy Queen. She followed that up with The Improper Life of Bazalia Grove. Now her latest novel has just been published by Random House. It's called The Funeral Dress. It's set primarily in the 1970s. It's about women who work in a shirt factory in a small town in East Tennessee. Susan Gregg Gilmore, welcome to A Roundabout.
Thank you.
So you're a former newspaper writer turned novelist, basically.
That's right.
And I'm bringing that up because I don't think people really understand how much research can actually go into a novel. I think people, when it comes to fiction, people think, oh, the writer just makes it up or bases it on his or her own life. But for this novel in particular, The Funeral Dress, you researched a lot of people before writing this. Who are the women you talked to before writing this novel?
I had a wonderful time researching, which is actually one of my great loves. So I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I went over to Dunlap countless number of times and talked to people, women that worked in the shirt factory, collar makers, lapel makers, men that were pattern setters and managers, secretarial staff. And then I went beyond the shirt factory and talked to the owners of the funeral home, Roy Joe and Sarah Joe. I talked to the beautician in town who's had the same little hair shop open for 52 years. It just grew exponentially, the number of people, you know, that I wanted to talk to, because it all fed into this dynamic in this small town.
The shirt factory there in Dunlap, it's closed down now, but I'm imagining, much like your novel, it was really active in the 60s and the 70s?
Very, very active. When the bell rang, everyone would speak of just the incredible flurry of activity of people leaving the factory, heading to the bank on a Friday afternoon, or to the diner at lunchtime. It sounded as though it was a time in Dunlap's history that was particularly rich and very important to the women in the community, because for many of these women, it was their first opportunity to work outside the home or off of the farm to make their own money and make their own way.
The main character of the book, Emily, she's 17 when she starts working at the shirt factory, and she's very poor. She's unmarried. She has a baby that she has to support. Did you find that that was true back then in the 70s, that there were women who were that young and that impoverished working in these factories?
Not across the board. There were, all people from, all walks of life. But I remember them telling me a story. One woman in particular, Marie Barker, which is the most fascinating woman. She sewed there for almost 30 years. She was a lapel maker. And she told me about a young girl that did have a baby, in the factory, much as Emily does, and that this woman, this young girl had no idea that she was expecting, or at least that was, what she claimed at the moment. And so, it just took hearing that then for me to have Emily go through a very similar experience.
And why did you decide to honor these women who worked in the factory by writing a novel as opposed to maybe just a nonfiction, straightforward thing about what they did and who they were?
It actually was first inspired or first took root from an old Kodak photograph of my own great aunt and great uncle and their single wide trailer that still sits out near Harrison Bay Lake, or Harrison Bay Road, across from the lake, excuse me. And as a small child, I loved visiting them. Their trailer to me was like a doll's house and always had such fun memories of being there. But when I found this photograph a year or two ago, as now a very grown woman, I wondered what that must have been like to have lived in such a small space for 52 years. But my aunt never once complained, and it wasn't until she was probably within a few weeks of her passing that she asked my mother that, you know, if my mother ever really hit it big, would she buy her a house made of bricks?
Oh, wow.
And that just really, you know, left me wondering about what her life had been like. And then I went over to Sequatchie County, where my mother had always told me her people came from, had farmed there once, you know, generations ago. And I do believe it's one of the most beautiful counties in our country. And I can say that because I've driven across our country 10 times now. So I do know a little bit of what I speak when I say that. But once I was there on the land, I just became so fascinated by it and so taken with it. And then I found that there is a zipper factory there. And then the zipper factory was housed in the old shirt factory. And that's how I came to know all of these women. And I think, you know, a nonfiction piece, yes, I could have done that. But for me, the way to share history and culture is through storytelling.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Susan Gregg Gilmore. She's a Southern writer. Her latest novel is The Funeral Dress. I think it's really interesting, the themes of poverty in the book, because many of the characters in your book, they're the breadwinners. They're the women, and the men don't have steady work, so the women are the ones who are earning the paycheck every week. But it's not, I mean, it's in a small town in East Tennessee, so there's not women's lib. These women, despite the fact that they are breadwinners, don't really have a lot of power.
That's such an interesting comment, because it wasn't defined women's lib, but in a very real sense, they were liberating themselves and working the, you know, those first steps towards some sense of equality. For some of these women, I'm sure, you know, they were, you know, the first to have, you know, two income family. But for many of them, they were the breadwinner. Either their husbands couldn't find work, there were no husbands, or they weren't providing adequately, or, you know, as Marie Barker told me, who did have a very, you know, wonderful husband who provided well, she said, I just wanted off the farm. I didn't want to cook for hired hands anymore.
Yeah.
But what it became about inside that factory seemed to be, more than anything, community of women. And I kept trying, you know, to ask Marie about the monotony of this job, sewing lapels day after day after day. And, you know, finally she just looked at me. I could tell she didn't understand what I was saying because she had not experienced that. And then I knew to hush that, you know, for Marie, this had really been about friendships.
Well, that's one of the really interesting things in the novel is it sounds like it would just be so boring to sit in a factory every day, literally doing the same thing over and over again. But the women really do. They gossip. They have these conflicts going on. There's really a lot happening there.
And, you know, I'm sure for some it was very tedious work. But again, you know, it spoke to everyone in a different way, and it provided every woman something different. But across the board, it did give them all an opportunity that before that there really had not been many positions for women in Sequatchie County other than, you know, maybe teaching or nursing.
Have you gotten any reactions about the novel, particularly from women who did live and work in this area?
Yes. And so far, it's been very well received, very positive. You know, you always are so nervous when you're writing about real people in a real place, because one of my great determinations with this book was to really honor the people of East Tennessee. You know, down here at the southernmost tip of the Appalachian Mountains, you know, that poverty that is in the book is still very real, and yet you don't want to ever stereotype anyone. You want to write about them with great dignity and respect, and so that was my greatest goal.
And you were talking about the photograph of the trailer that inspired all this, the trailer that's very much one of the main settings in the book. You've actually got a photograph, that photograph, on your website.
That's right.
What is your website?
SusanGregGilmore.com. A lot of G's in there.
You've got an event coming up, a couple of events coming up, actually, on Thursday, September 19th, the Friends of the Sequatchie County Public Library event at the actual site of the old Dunlap Shirt Factory, the Spartan Industries plant site. What all are you going to have going on that day?
We are so excited. I will be there reading and signing, but so much more important than that, we're honoring all the former employees of Spartan Industries. And the women of the Friends of the Library have done an absolutely phenomenal job collecting memorabilia that we had no idea was out there. I mean, sewing machines, pressing machines, old dresses, patterns, blueprints. There's so much of our history now sitting over in the old shirt factory, and we're really hoping to, or we are planning to use this opportunity to launch an oral history collection campaign. We don't, Marie Barker, the woman that I speak so fondly of, she died probably 2 months after our conversation. We don't want to lose any more of those.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to actually, are you going to be recording at the event, or is this just going to be the start of it?
We're going to announce it. We're going to describe it a bit, and then we're going to start recruiting people, signing people up, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
Okay. And you've got something else coming up on Monday, September 23rd at Enzo's Market, another book signing event.
This is also going to be a lot of fun. I work part-time, actually, at the wine shop at Enzo's Market.
Cool.
And I've done that now for about a year, and it's been great pleasure. And so Enzo's is going all out and having this wonderful evening where I'll be there signing. We have music, food inspired by the book, wine paired with the book. It's, in fact, at both events, I have to mention this, Belinda Smith, she's a singer-songwriter from Nashville. She's a Dove Award winner. She has written a song inspired by the funeral dress, and she will be performing at both events.
Has the song, like, been released on the internet yet or anything?
Well, Belinda and I have released it on Facebook. Does that count?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. It's called I Believe in You, and it really is beautiful.
I've watched the day-to-day shake you right down to your core. You've had those moments when you thought you couldn't take anymore. That look in your eyes and those lines on your face say all the words you don't want to say.
And your novel is The Funeral Dress. It just came out. Where can people actually find the novel?
Well, first, I'm always going to say go support your local indie. And if you buy an ebook, you can even do that through Kobo and support a local indie. It's also at all the big chains. Amazon, Target is carrying it right now as well.
Well, is there anything else you want to tell the listeners?
Pick up a copy. You know, I kind of teasingly tell people, oh, you know, whether you read it or not, it's not important. Buy it. Support your author. but no, I want you to read it. I want you to share the story of Emily.
Susan Greg Gilmore, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Everyone's just getting through one day at a time. So hear your own music, make your own rhythms, and write your own rhymes. I know how you feel because I've been there too. But all you can do is all you can do. Oh, time will mend your heart.
That was a conversation with Susan Greg Gilmore. The Funeral Dress is a very realistic, sometimes heartbreaking story about life, death, poverty, and socioeconomic power in a small East Tennessee town. It's been praised as a stunning, serious literary work and a book club natural, also a vivid picture of factory life and the sense of community it inspired among its workers. More information about the author is online at SusanGregGilmore.com. You're listening to Around and About Chattanooga. I am Michael Edward Miller.